Good afternoon and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, complete they should, ...
Mm-hmm.
Record and listen.
They should.
All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from San Carlos, California.
Hello, Anna.
What
Hello.
Should they do? There's such a long list. But one of the things is, I was just with my family, and I was looking at this around, like, my brother, and it was like, they should be considerate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like at minimum, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's totally the way it's like totally like a point of like righteous indignation is like, I mean, at minimum they should be considerate.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
And what do you see about that, Anna?
You know, it's something I've looked at for a long time. It's like these things that I believe that other people should do, it's like when they don't do it, it's such an opportunity for me to go to righteous indignation, which is a horrible place. But is a place that feels, like, powerful and, you know, I mean, I can't believe they did that. You know, it's like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like it gives me, like.
You're the right person. But if people could just be more like you, the world would be a happier place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a kind of like for a period of time. It's like a carte blanche to do and say whatever, even if it's not out loud, you know, it would be like internally to think these things or to, you know, vent about this person or whatever and feel really right about it.
Uh-huh. Wow. That is so big, isn't it? So in that situation, I have permission to do what they do even more than they do it. The difference is...
Yeah.
They're doing it out loud. I'm doing it inside the privacy of my own head.
Exactly.
So that makes
and I'm right.
A
and
much
they're
better
wrong.
Person. I'm
yeah.
right. And even though we're doing exactly the same thing, I'm right
yeah.
about how wrong they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a horror. It's actually one of the places that brought me to practice. It's just like, this isn't fun. I don't want to be doing this. So, like, what could I do? And how could I, you know, consider a world in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
But it is like during that period of time where I'm like identified and feeling really right, there is like a energy to it that I think feels powerful.
Oh yeah. Yes.
When I'm in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would project there's the receiving whatever your brother is saying or doing and the energy kind of collapses around that. There's that moment, right? And then how do we rev up a bunch of energy to basically be okay again in our little ego world? Well, then we just go to what a jerk he is, and feel
it's
good.
It's mm-hmm. like being victimized and turning it into like being the aggressor in a way, but not really like
victimizing
that
him.
Aggressor. Yeah.
That's right. But the right kind of victimizer.
Exactly.
Not a bad bad one like he is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I recognize the pattern.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty. Yeah. So anyway, thank you. And I also wanted to just say thank you for the radio show. I'm just really happy to have this opportunity to connect. So.
Uh-huh. In the midst of kind of awareness practice opportunities, to be able to check in and talk about what you're seeing, your experience is helpful, isn't it? Supportive.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. And it's also just like, I feel like bringing it into practice, like bringing my experience into practice, just being like, oh, yes, that's practice too. That's practice too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, enjoy, huh?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Anna. And hear that little voice. Who are you talking to?
Good introduction to practice.
Yes.
The, the thing that dropped in for me is something we've been looking at the retreat around strong emotions. How much we have to be willing to surrender that payoff, right? That sensation of the grim satisfaction that ego feels, that the identification that ego feels, that place that in order for me to have an experience where I'm not doing what the other person is doing, I have to give up how good it feels in order not to do that.
Yes, yes. Gosh, and you know what I just saw when you said that is that the next hole that I'm liable to step into is superiority for not succumbing to the same kind, you know, it's a different kind of righteousness. A superiority, because I can see that my brother is a jerk, and I can see that I could have reacted to that, but I didn't. So I really am the right person.
And the structure of that process is such that the rightness of it is sort of obscures that I'm doing what it is that the other person is doing. So when I react against intolerance, for example, I'm really being intolerant, except that I'm being intolerant of people who are intolerant of not very nice things. That makes me a better intolerant person than you.
Oof. And this can only work when we keep our attention on the content and not the process, right? Because as soon as we shift over the process, we realize, oh, we're doing the same thing here, doing exactly the same thing.
Yes, and you know, Sherry, we've been passing this really intensely in this retreat, that when I shift to the process or shift the context, for example, the only thing I'm not doing is to be identified. Then I can have any experience that is, so if I'm in the content, then it's tolerance or intolerance or consideration or considerate or he should or they should or whatever it is. But as soon as I shift the context to, oh, I'm in the process of identification and I move to awareness, then actually there's a lot of freedom for a lot of experiences, energy, compassion, exploration, curiosity, all kinds of things. And to get that the only thing I'm giving up in that moment, that feeling good, is giving up identification, not what I'm capable of doing in that situation. Because if I wasn't identified and listening to a conversation about how inconsiderate the other person is and how much more considerate I am, I could actually say, you know, it would be so nice if you could just, what would be lovely for me in this moment is if you could actually consider this. Here's what I'm going through. I would like your assistance, which would shift the situation completely, right? Mm-hmm. But we never get to ask that or say what's going on for us at the minimum.
Yes. Yeah. And we never get to shift to the humor and the loving kindness that we can get to when we see what we're all up against.
Up against. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Good afternoon. This is Bev from Kentucky.
Hey, Bev. You sound far away to me, and I'm much closer to you now than I usually am.
Well, how about now? Is that better?
I can hear you better, yes.
Okay, well, let me disconnect my and just talk to you. Is that better?
Yeah. Each little adjustment, you get a little bit closer. So, this one's going to work. It's good.
Okay. I'm just
really good.
As always, just happy to be here. I love this week's last few lessons because it's really brought my attention to something that. You've talked about a lot is how important our language is, how important that we look at how we speak and words like should and want, could and need to, how I need to eliminate those from my vocabulary, that They just lead me to suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we become aware of them in our language, and that helps us become aware of them in our beliefs and assumptions and behaviors.
Exactly, and it really shines a light on that. And I was speaking with a young lady the other day who is a counselor, and she said that, you know, she was, and I love when I go out in the world and talk to people and they talk about things we talk about in practice, but she mm-hmm. was saying that that's the first thing she does when people come to see her is she has them look at how they, their language. And she suggested to me something that just has been transformative. She said, try to use the three words I get to instead of I should or I need to or and
it's
just amazing how when I say I get, you know, I have to get up or I should get up, instead of just saying I get to get up today. I get mm-hmm. to get up and put my feet on. I mean, it just, it's kind of like I'm happy to be here. It just totally shifts the whole focus to,
yeah,
it becomes a pleasure. It becomes a privilege. You know, I get to go to work. I have a job, you know. you know, so it's,
they pay me.
And it brings a lot of humor to it. It takes the seriousness out of it, and it makes me go, well, like, yeah, I do. You know, just the fact that I get to get up each day is.
Yes.
So that's just really because, all this looking at the language has helped me so much.
Yeah, and what I'm looking at as you're saying that is how it moves us from being a victim, right?
Yes.
I'm a victim to my life. Right? Oh, I have to get up. I have to fix breakfast. I have to go to work. I have to. I am so oppressed. I'm so mistreated here. Rather than,
yes,
I get to do all these things that are actually my choice.
And it's very humbling. You know, it really brings me back to here, and it brings me back to being grateful.
Yes. Yes.
When I say that. And my two favorite ones, though, I will have to say, I get to mind my own business and I get to keep my mouth shut. I have used that so much in the last few weeks. And first of all, it's a relief because I don't have to mind anybody else's business or put my two cents in, and I get to just be present. So I have just enjoyed just everything we do is just a joy. And it's been fun. It's been fun using I get to, because it just humbles me, it makes me grateful, and it makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are my awareness practice hero, because those two things that you're enjoying currently, I feel I'm not ready for, but I aspire.
Yes,
keeping my mouth shut. It's just, I aspire, Bev.
Well, me too. One day we were somewhere, and it's funny, I put it on my mirror. You know, I try to put it, I get to different places in my house, and my husband and I have discussed it and what my goal is. And one day we were somewhere and something happened, and he looked at me and he said, oh, is this one of these times you get to practice keeping your mouth shut? And I'm like, yeah,
nope.
So it's like people even remind you, but I didn't take it in offense. It's like, it's just fun. It's just been fun.
Uh-huh.
So.
It really is. It just a whole level of lightness to the whole thing that doesn't give self-hate any place to stand.
Yes. So,
yeah,
deep
God
show to everyone, to you and Ashwini, and everyone who's brave enough to come on each day and share. And it just lifts me up in ways that are just so wonderful. So thank you so much. And
thank you.
You all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. You
bye
too.
Bye.
Go happy.
Another wonderful practice that we get to add to our collection of things from Bev. You know,
yes.
I get to. Oh, I mean, that whole the precept of restraint and religious observances. It's just a wonderful, very humorous way. We were just looking at that in group recently, just now, that we're so identified with wanting and being victims of our lives, as you said, that we don't get to have. And that practice of saying, I get to, is such a shift in orientation of receiving what I have.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the again, with what I was looking at as Bev was talking about that is how unconscious that victimization is. Because we will hear ourselves and other people saying, I have to, about things that make them happy. You know, I have to go to a wedding this weekend. I have to go pick up the new car this afternoon. You know? and so it's subversive.
Yes,
sneaky.
It's a negation.
Sneaky.
It's a negation exactly of something that we're really, really glad to. We're grateful for. We enjoy the way that it sort of subliminally robs us of that is how we talk about it.
Yeah. And don't even hear ourselves saying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in. You?
I am. And Sherry, I just got a message saying that the internet quit on me, which is not a good idea, which is not good. Let me just...
How come I can hear you?
Because I'm on the phone. I'm going to move my location in order to make sure that I could get back on. So... Give me 1 second. All right, Sherry, we're back live.
Oh, excellent. Gosh.
All right. Here's our next caller. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Marianne from Vancouver.
Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. And I love this idea of I get to. I get to fix the technical difficulties, Ashwini.
I get to meditate while Ashwini figures out the technology.
Well, it's very interesting to reframe. So what I saw with shoulds was it's like how distancing it is and the sense of unreal. It's not, there's something about that word that just is not reality. I don't know
I think I know exactly what you mean. It's pointing at something that's not real.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like some kind of past particle, you know, or so, I don't know. There's something about it that just is. It's not real, and it's some. Of course, something is wrong.
Yes. Yes. So, when we were talking about it as pointing to an alternate reality, right? There's this world where this happens, but in this other imaginary world, something else happens, and that's how it should be. That other way is the right way. This is the wrong way.
Yeah. I dropped into it. It was like the feeling when I was younger that how is it they don't see what is right? How can those other people not see this is the right thing? I just don't get it because, and of course then I have to push because don't they see? And the finger goes pointing all over the place. So when I discovered my Enneagram number and number ones, you know, are always looking for what's wrong. And I could drop that. I could just go, oh, what a relief.
Yeah, that, yes, that, that constant focus on what is wrong and what is missing, what's wrong and not enough. Yeah. As if, again, there is the real world where things are not this way. They're the way they should be.
Yes.
It's just so tricky, isn't it?
Well, I guess that's the thing, is that there's some fantasy, some ideal place where everything is perfect. And
yes.
And it's not here.
That's right. And in that perfect world, it's not that it's perfect. That's really not the point. The point is, it's perfect for me.
Yeah.
Right? That's the essential piece of it. It's the way I know people should be and everybody should behave and how people should feel and how they should especially treat me and feel about how they should feel about me. And yeah.
Yeah. So it feels like there's some kind of ego tension that is looking for release or relief, and it's searching for how can I get that relief, and it's directed outward. You know, they should, we should, you should, everybody should change.
And of course, I would suggest that what ego is actually looking for is attention. And creating an imaginary right world as compared to this wrong world is a way to get a lot of attention, because mm-hmm. everything can be seen as wrong. Everything should be different from the way it is. And so the conversation about that in conditioned mind can be pretty much endless. There's always something that should be different.
And I get to see all this.
Yes. Isn't that good? And so much more interesting and fun and exciting than trying to live in an imaginary world filled with dissatisfaction, because it's never going to be real.
Yes. So I mm-hmm. just have to do a deep bow to you and Ashwini and all the people who help keep the monastery together and the Sangha, and just, wow.
Just all of us, huh?
It's just,
we're just all
the whole ball.
Bow to each other. Yep. I hear you. Yep. Yeah. All the Sangha, known and unknown. Oh, heck, let's just bow to everything, shall we?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks, Marianne. And I believe we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we
all
go.
Right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Bob is here.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. A lot. I mean, I could take this in so many different places and have. And I think one of the things that just a lot of what's been said already in this call, but just what really occurs to me is that when I'm holding that, you know, thought of they should, you know, I've stopped taking responsibility for my life. I'm now just, you know, wanting to somehow change things by having other people change things, not me.
Uh-huh. Oh, what a good point. Yeah. So it's a variation on the victim, right? I'm a victim because of the way things are, and it's not my fault. And because it's not my fault, there's really nothing I can do about it. Other people need to fix this thing that they've caused, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, obviously none of those words are spoken. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. I know how things are, and these people need to fix things. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, and it's just, this whole week, as I've been looking at all these different shoulds, you know, I've been looking at, like, you know, what happens when I just flop it around? You know, when someone says I should, you know, what's my reaction? And and if you just look at human history, especially our current times, it's like it just never ends well when other people are telling people how to. And like something that I appreciate so much about our practice is that it's an individual practice, and so it's for me to look at what's, you know, what's going on with me. What's my role? Mm-hmm. What can I do? And, you know, it just seems like such a shirking of my responsibility when I'm in any of those should places, and turning it over to conditioning to, you know, to have my, you know, life controlled by that relationship with conditioning.
Yeah, because the conversation that conditioned mind wants to have about this certainly doesn't result in anything that would be helpful to anybody, right, except ego. So it, instead of taking responsibility and seeing, well, how might I participate in a way that would make a difference, it just wants to stay in the conversation about what everybody's doing wrong and how it should be different.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, otherwise I'm in this position of I know, you know, and when I'm in that position of I know, it never ends well because, you know, even if it's something like I've done before, and I know how to do it, well, it's a different moment. And how do I know that I can just apply that same, just, you know, unconscious memory of what happened to this moment and expect it to turn out exactly the same? And instead, if I'm, you know, it's just... you know, the more I look at it, the more it's just so clear that it's like it's part of what contributes to, you know, just human suffering when I'm in a position of I know.
We make put the combination of I know and should, knowing and should. We could probably trace every bit of human misery, suffering, back to those two, to knowing and should.
Yeah. And if I can just be one person who's not living in that every moment of my life, that seems like a pretty good contribution.
Yes. And of course, ego would say no. But realizing how pervasive this is for each one of us, how much we live in that unconscious operating out of what I'm told I know and the unconscious place of should, then to the degree that we're able to get here and not do that, that's a lot of every day. And that's a lot of interactions with the world. So, yeah, it is a heck of a contribution.
Yeah, because as you were saying, what I was thinking is that when I'm in that relationship with conditioning, I'm actually no longer participating in life. I'm not engaged in life going on here. I'm engaged with an idea that I'm being presented by conditioning and reading the world as if that idea is actually what's going on in the world.
Yeah, and it just keeps us so isolated, doesn't it? Instead of stepping up and stepping out and saying, hello, life, I'm available. Use me. I'm ready to participate and make whatever contribution I can. So what now?
Yeah.
Very different
good
orientation.
Good question. What now?
Yeah. Happy
Great.
Place.
Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Uh-oh. Ashwini?
Sherry, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, now.
I was just saying that brings us to the end of the show, and the assignment for today is so interesting because it says, who says so? Record and listen. And that who says so is... relevant to every should we've just explored. We should, they should, I should, you should, people should.
Who says so?
One should. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Well, very fun.
Thank you very much, and apologies for that. We thought the internet was fixed, and apparently it wasn't.
Well, it did better than it might have, so we'll just be grateful for that. How about that?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Winnie. Bye-bye.
Bye.